John 17, we know this is the Blessed Lord praying to the Father. In verse 20 he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." The greatest hindrance to that being accomplished, that the world might believe, Father, that thou hast sent me, the greatest hindrance is the lack of this oneness among God's people that he prays for here. Was his prayer ever answered? Will it ever be? Well, the answer to those two questions is yes. It has been answered. It will be answered again perfectly in glory. When we're all gathered together unto him, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Notice the first mentioned effect of the coming of the Holy Spirit is to fill the house. That was literally the place where they were sitting, but I think it speaks of something deeper than that. The Spirit has taken up his residency in this present day of grace in the house of God. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Each one individually had this. This new thing that God was establishing, this assembly, Church of the Living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, inhabited and dwelt by the Holy Spirit collectively and each one individually. This is what characterizes Christianity. "And the cloven tongues," saying that this is not to be limited to one nation like Judaism was, but it's for all peoples and languages and tongues and nations on the face of the earth. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Everyone heard the wonderful message of God in their own language. This gift of tongues used on that day to show that what God is establishing here, especially to show it to Israel with other tongues and people of other lips, "will I speak unto this people." And this is the coming of the Spirit of God that produced this. But if you turn to the fourth chapter, we have something very exceedingly precious. The testimony was being opposed. The greatest opponents to it were the Jews. We'll start at verse 29. We know the account. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Here you see a company, not just individuals now filled with the Holy Spirit, as on the day of Pentecost, but you see this company praying unitedly with one heart and one soul. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the effect of that is that they spake the word with boldness. When you see someone that is filled with the Holy Ghost, there's boldness. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of the Lord gives boldness. Now notice verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Well, this was the height. This was the height that was reached in those early days, before any divisions had come in. But I want to read verse 32 as it is in the New Translation. The multitude and the heart and soul of the multitude of them that believed was one. The Lord's Prayer, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. The heart and soul of the multitude that believed was one. The Lord's Prayer was answered, literally answered. Here was a company, as a company, never before, never since has this happened, I don't believe, that they were all unitedly filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a total selflessness. There was a total lack of anyone seeking a place or seeking to be recognized or looked upon as something. Self was, for the moment, at that time, gone. And the Spirit of God was there to fill them all with Christ and His glories, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. What a height! The very next chapter, there was a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, and they lied to the Holy Ghost. They had covetous hearts, and so the blessing, the height that was reached in chapter 4, didn't last very long. And so it is. That's the history of man. He cannot contain the blessing very long. But the Lord's Prayer was answered. And we're looking on to that day when all the saints, none missing then, today we have the privilege of being gathered together unto His name. He's not here. He's on high in the glory. And He promises in a spiritual sense to be in our midst. But in 2 Thessalonians 1, and this is what we're waiting for, the rapture, when we'll all be gathered together unto Him, not to His name now, but to Him. When that takes place, there'll be none missing. We'll all be there. And again, this prayer will be manifestly seen. It will be so, as it was here in Acts 4. Well, as we think of this, recently I picked up a book at our brother's house, and it's on church history. And I've been reading it, And it's hard to read without tears flowing as you think of that which Christ died for, to gather together into one the children of God that were scattered abroad, that he died for that. That we often think he died for my sins. That's true and blessedly so, but he died to gather together into one the children of God. Again, the effect of his death will be seen in that coming day. It was seen there in Acts 4. That they all may be one. What would be the effect of that? Why should the world believe our testimony? Why should it? We can't get along among ourselves, we Christians. And the world sees that. You're hypocrites. And in many ways, they're telling the truth, are they not? We've failed to walk together in unity, in grace, in holiness, and in truth. Thank God. There are those of us whose desire is to still do it with all our failure, to still give him the place that he alone deserves, and to do it together. What a privilege that is.